W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Consumer advocates are warning people about the hidden costs of taking out small loans on smartphone apps. Here's Mike Moe.
The Center for Responsible Lending is out with findings that detail how earned wage advances from digital platforms come with extra costs disguised as things like tips. Traditional payday lenders are often criticized for charging excessive interest rates on loans that are usually around $500. The center's Lucia Constantine says customers are usually seeking smaller amounts from the apps, but she warns they can be just as costly.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
The report says after using these financial products, customers are seeing overdrafts on their checking accounts increase by 56% on average. Industry leaders deny they're barraging customers with hidden fees, stressing that features like suggested tips are optional. More broadly, a bipartisan payday loan reform bill in the Wisconsin legislature failed to advance this month. Constantine says, like longstanding payday lenders, these cash advance apps can be hard to regulate. Meanwhile, she urges those in a bind to explore other options.
Try talking to their friends and family as a first source. The other option, which I would recommend, is reaching out to their credit union or banking institution to see if they can get some sort of small dollar loan.
She says places like credit unions typically provide more transparency on loan costs. According to the report, 3/4 of consumers took out at least one advance on the same day or day after a repayment was posted. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and thunderstorms likely for your Sunday. Some of that rain locally heavy. We'll see high temperatures reaching the upper 40s, close to that 50-degree mark. Showers, still a thunderstorm chance in the overnight. And again, some of that rain locally heavy. It's 42 at our studios.
From I-43 to I-41.
This is the talk of Green Bay.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This city on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Lean Local. And as I mentioned at the top of every show, this is a show where we deal with the local issues. What's at hand here? And, you know, we know there's a lot going on in this country, right? I mean, with stuff, Ukraine and Israel, and of course at the state, there's a lot going on. But here on Lean Local, we talk about what's pertinent to the greater Green Bay community. And even though the press should be doing that, I mean, in their defense, there's just so many other things going on. And sometimes a car crash will usurp something that is good that's going on, that's being done by one of our elected leaders or community leaders. And we want to talk to those people here on Lean Local. The other reason I named it Lean Local was we don't lean left or we don't lean right. It's a nonpartisan show. We like to get people on here that are here for the reason of helping the local community. So we've had some great guests in the past, you know, Rich Heidel and the mayor of De Pere and some other ones. And we all live in greater Green Bay in the county, Brown County, 72 counties in the state. And we're fortunate to live in Brown County. And Brown County is made up of a Brown County executive, not called a mayor, called an executive. And then
The board of the county is made up of 26 Brown County Board supervisors, which actually is where I got started. I ran for Brown County Board, and man, we had a lot of fun. That was in the day of the Fox River Trail, the new jail, and it was just some pretty interesting things we worked on. But I wanted to get someone in here that knows the county and somebody that works hard. I mean, I'm not saying some people don't, but it all 26 people don't work at the same pace. There's some people that work a little bit harder and then others. You got to agree with me, even though you may not want to. But I just want to say that I brought on today Ron Antino. Ron Antino has, I think a lot of our listeners know you. He was the government liaison. What were you at WPS?
A lobbyist for the state,
right,
and local government affairs, and on our foundation board.
All right, so you did a lot with WPS, which is a great, great company here that did a lot for the community, and Ron was kind of the go-to person on that. I also served on the city council and was elected to the county board a number of times, and just most recently, last April, well, actually earlier this month, right, because it was April. Congratulations to another victory, and welcome to Lean Local.
Thank you. Thank you.
Glad you're here. What's going on in the county?
Well, there's a lot of things going on. The Southern Landfill Project is something that was important that we worked through three counties to try to help all the municipalities in the county. And the Southern Bridge Project,
right.
When I knocked on 396 doors in December, infrastructure, public safety were the two top issues.
Yeah.
And we're doing a lot with infrastructure. We do not have any open positions in the sheriff's department. All the sheriff's deputy positions are filled. The Southern Bridge Project is coming to fruition, which should help spur some economic development.
Well, cool. Let me ask you before we get into it. I know you have a lot of projects, and I want to hear about them, but I want to talk a little bit more about you first. So you... What attracted you? You could have ran for city council. I think you would have won. County board. I think you kicked around the assembly. Didn't you at one time, or senator? Well,
at one time, yeah.
I remember talking to you about that. Why the county?
The county is where I felt I could make a bigger difference. Plus, as I just got into retirement, I don't want to wind up too much. I want to kind of wind down a little bit, but yet still be involved and help projects. One I always point to quite a bit was when you were mayor and I was on the first time, this city deck here. I mean, I worked hard to raise money, and I also, I think it was a great thing that we all got done here.
Yeah.
And I was happy with the Meyer Theater.
Yeah.
There were a lot of projects like that we worked on, right, and were great for the community.
Right. And I think that's important, that city deck, even though it happens to be on the waterfront here, I mean, that is so well utilized by the community. You know, people from Howard to Schwabenau, and we just see a lot of friends and people down there. And, you were one of our first lead gifts. Shopko, of course, who's no longer with us, but that was great, that ribbon cutting. We had a lot of fun with that. Hey, Larry was, who was your president then?
CEO was Larry Wires.
Yeah, but then there was another guy that lived out in Hobart who was very active, and I thought he was...
Well, Larry Beauregard was the president.
He was the president.
Yep. And Larry Wires was the CEO. Right.
Those two Larrys made it happen.
Yeah. Yes.
And you, I would say. I would give some credit for that. But, those are good projects. And I think you did some work at the Bay Beach area, too. I
remember Correct.
You coming in and talking about that, some of the pavilions and everything else. So,
yep.
Those are good to have those.
Train Depot.
Right. To have those partnerships, right, with the county, with the public, with the private?
Yeah, public-private partnerships are great, but my motto has always been leadership matters.
Yeah. It does. And anything.
Yeah.
Schools, business, public, private, even at home.
That's how you get stuff done, with good leadership.
Yeah. And they got to be willing to take a few arrows.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Absolutely.
I didn't take too many from you.
But if you have a good leader and also you're willing to create and work with partnerships and you have good partners, that reduces the number of slings and arrows, and it also helps you get more done.
Yeah. How is the, so the county, you're kind of in the middle a little bit, right? I mean, you're, I think a county was formed to be an extension of the state, you know, and with the main focus on health and human services. And yet you, there's 24 municipalities within the county. So that's coordinating. I'm not going to say there's egos, but when you get the governor and you get, right, there's just a lot of moving parts to that. And you seem to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a, I almost call you a middleman, but, you know, consensus builder.
I'd rather be a collaborator than an adversary. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lot of projects like the libraries on the east side of Green Bay. Right. We have a brand new library there. Tremendous. It's great for the community. We have the Eagle's Nest boat landing. We have Bayshore Park. We're redoing the whole campgrounds, new restroom, showers, and the marina, which will just help getting things like Cabela's Walleye Tournament here and different major tournaments if we have the facilities. It's just like downtown. The convention center, if it's really kept up and taken care of, we can get a lot of good business down here and hopefully help the businesses that are here.
Right, right. That's nice to look at things like that, because it you have to take that 30,000 foot level. I mean, you talk about campgrounds to convention centers. Some people may love one lane and somebody another, and you've got to deal with both because the county oversees, you know, like you just mentioned. I mean, the county's very involved with the expo hall, with the zoo.
Yep.
I mean, that's under your purview, the golf course?
The golf course, the libraries, the fairgrounds. We have a master plan we're trying to develop. We're now paving to try to the downtown boardwalk. We're connecting with all these trails, and now we're going out further and further, and we're paving all these trails, a lot of them this year.
They're going to be blacktop paved?
Yes, most of them. Oh. We'll get done this year.
Well, that's interesting.
Out to Greenleaf.
I don't think the horses are going to like that, right? Didn't those guys kind of give us some pushback when we were going to pave them when we first built that? I don't know.
At first, but now it seems like everyone was supportive of it.
Good. So. Yeah. I mean.
Well, not everyone, but most people.
Look, I get that. That's the most people. Okay. And with the county, you know, looking at the projects, the Southern Bridge has been around for, what, 30 years?
Longer than that.
Yeah.
And it's finally coming to fruition.
And that's going to be in Wrightstown? Where is that?
That's, I believe, Rockland. It'll be in Lawrence on the west side, right off of 41.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that's worthwhile. I'm not 100% there because I'm afraid it's going to cause some urban sprawl, and I just think we need to focus on the city. I'm a city guy, and I'll admit that. But man, I just think if you're not investing in the core of your community, everything else can go to hell pretty quick. So I wish there was more emphasis on a lot of different levels, not just the county. I'm even right here, right? I mean, it's a big city, 50 square miles. I get that, but on the other hand, you know, I always said, and you know, you're at plenty of my state of the cities, but I always thought the downtown was the heart of the city and everything pulsed from the heart. But if you don't have a good heart, the rest of your body's going to go to hell. So,
well, and that, again, goes to my motto, takes leadership. The city's got to lead on that. They have people who are willing to collaborate with the city right now. Like there was money available for an escalator to go in at the convention center, which a lot of the Lodging Association, Restaurant Association, these people all said, we need that. And the city made the comment, well, we don't have a plan for that. Well, you know, you can't do, it's theirs. They have to come up with the plan and then get people to get behind it.
Right. I get that. Okay. All right. We'll have them on another day. But, okay. So, Ron, look, I want to talk about the makeup of the county board, there's 26 people, all representing what, 9,000-10,000 people, something like that.
Yep.
Does that bother you that 20 of you ran unopposed? Because it bothers me.
I'll be honest, I haven't thought about it.
Okay.
But it depends on who is running. You know, hard, it has been hard. And I'm going back to when I was on first time. We had more opposition and more opposed, but you have to have quality people running for office. You've got to find quality people, get to people who care about the community and are not one issue people.
Then that's the key to that, because we had people just ran opposed to the trail, opposed to this, and they're not going to win. But I think the county, you know, it's got a huge budget. It's got a lot, pretty good resources. And but you're right. If the right people win, then right. I think the person who loses in that during the process is maybe the constituent, because they're not getting all the issues. But okay. Hey, we're with Ron Antino. Ron Antino, county board supervisor, very involved in the community for years and years. We're going to be right back. A few more questions on the county and what Ron's future is. Stick around. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Don't you love that music? Do you watch Strike? Do you watch Suits?
No.
Oh, that's that. So I was telling Con, I had different music, 3 weeks ago. And I was at home, just me and my dog, because my wife was gone. And I went on Netflix and started watching Suits. And I looked at the most streamed, whatever they call those. It's not a sitcom. And that's the music. So I called Con. I said, find that music and have it when after we go to break. So that's, you like that? That's kind of,
oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh,
yeah. I'm glad to hear that. So we're here with Ron Antino. Welcome back to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're here with Ron Antino. Ron, as many of you know, worked for WPS for years, did a lot of good things in the community, and then decided, well, he was on the county board and took some time off, and now he ran again to the county board, and he feels like that's where he can contribute the most to Brown County. And as you know, Brown County, we're one of 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin. There's 24 municipalities within the county, and kind of coordinating projects that benefit everyone. I think that's the name of the game for the county. The county was designed to be an extension of the state with a main focus, I think, on health and human services. That's what I learned in school. And within the county, there's, I think there's five or six committees. And Ron, I think you've served on a number of the committees, administration, ed and rec, human services. You like the ed and rec.
Yeah, it's really a quality of life committee and pushes a lot of things that can help tourism and different things for the local community as well as tourism to draw from around the state. And we have a great golf course here. We have the new zoo. We have a good library system. And we have a great park system, pointed out the fairgrounds and
right.
Bayshore and that.
Yeah. I want to just shift gears a little bit. Now, sure. I don't want to get into any argument with you, but the county, there are some of us, and it's not just me, but I'm one of them, that are we taking our eye off the ball in terms of if the reason or if our mission statement is an extension of the state for health and human services, we have a homeless problem in Green Bay, Brown County.
I would agree with that. Not everyone would. I know people who don't agree with that, but.
I want to just drill down on that just a little bit. They don't agree with it. Or they don't want to acknowledge it because once you acknowledge it, you should have to do something about it.
I don't think they agree with it.
Really?
Yeah. There are some people that just don't agree that we have a problem. And I believe we could handle the problem a lot better than we are. And I'm saying there is a problem.
Yeah.
But I think we could handle it a lot better. But again, that goes to a leadership at a lot of levels there.
I'm glad you're that. Well, I've always liked you. That gives me some comfort that you would agree. And it was the front page of the paper. Brown County's homeless numbers are startling. The coalition leader said there was a lady in Green Bay 2 weeks ago and found our numbers startling. And I guess my question is, I know the county's doing a lot of things, you know, the Southern Bridge the VCB and these buildings, but is homelessness being addressed throughout the 24 municipalities?
Well, I would say in some of the rural areas, it's not addressed at all, but I don't know that it really, I represent part of the town of Scott and I've never heard them talk about it once. And so...
Well,
it depends where you're at.
I guess I'm looking
area.
More from the county. Is that a priority for the administration of the county?
I can't particularly answer. I mean, that would be on human service.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I don't really, get into that totally, but here's the way I always look at it. We should be partnering with the city or in Ashwaubenon, the new Ashwaubenon line, you partner with these communities. What are your issues? How can we move forward and how can we address them? I think that way on not only homelessness, but like on all these tourist issues, downtown convention, which is what I'm more familiar with.
Right. Right. Let's talk about the county is playing a role in the draft that's coming a year from today. It's going to be here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tight, right?
Yeah. I think Aaron Potts.
I mean,
they're all at Detroit right now.
Right. Right. The NFL draft. we're taping the show on Thursday. It airs on Sunday. We're supposed to act like it's Sunday. Okay. What a draft. No, you excited about that? It's something your department would lean into the draft, right?
We haven't, we haven't gotten, we're going to get more because we haven't gotten the final plans yet. The NFL hasn't shown us a lot, but you know, the area where I think we're going to have some, you know, involvement is at the KI Resch Center.
Right.
And then obviously I think they're going to want support, I don't know, from public safety.
Right.
They're going to want some support, I think, from the city too and the village.
Right.
So.
Well, I think that's you talk about you being in the Recreation Quality of Life Committee. I think that's a real opportunity to showcase the county, the city.
I hope
and so. All 24 municipalities. You're on a committee, but you are on the county board. The other thing that people text Johnny and I on when we're on in the Mind on the Mayor in the morning, that people are concerned not enough attention is being paid to fentanyl drugs.
Oh, I'm on the National Human Trafficking Coalition, which is, fentanyl's another one, but these are problems nationally that are horrendous problems. Problems with human trafficking, problems with drug trafficking. These are things we've got to, I worry about the future of our country if we don't start trying to get a handle on this stuff, Mayor.
And I think talking about things that's healthy. I used to say that all the time. I mean, if you don't talk about it, if you ignore it, it's going to get worse. But the fact that you acknowledge it, you're on a national committee. I mean, I was on a national committee regarding homelessness too. And that just brings you an awareness. You think about it when you're at home and and I think that's healthy. And I just hope that you take your desire and your interest in that and relate it to the other 26 people and especially the administration, because to have the quality of life is a great thing, but we also got to take care of our challenges. I mean, don't you agree?
Exactly. The NFL draft, one last thing.
Okay.
Which I'm going to present at Ed and Rec, but for the Neville Museum. I hope we get the Packers to support a NFL Packer event or exhibit at the museum.
Sounds good. What a plan. Ron Antinol, County Board Supervisor, thanks for being with us. Stick around. We got Andrew Becker coming on to talk about the Greater Green Bay School Board.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The pro-Palestinian protests continue at dozens of America's college campuses. In Los Angeles, police called out a tactical alert for several hours last night. Multiple squad cars racing to the University of Southern California campus where students reestablished an encampment that police tore down on Wednesday.
There are the usual chants and protests that calling for the liberation of Palestine. But overall, the student organizers are very peaceful, very intent. They have rules for the encampment in order to keep everybody safe and healthy and protected.
One of the protesters there, 93, were arrested, graduation ceremonies canceled, and the campus was sealed off to outsiders. More violent weather through the heartland. Dozens of tornadoes reported across four states. The violent twisters leveling homes and businesses. Federal regulators saying a critical safety gap in Tesla's autopilot system might be responsible for hundreds of accidents and more than a dozen deaths. This is ABC News.
The Yankees crushed the Brewers. I'm Mike Clemens of Sports. It was a long night for the crew. The Yankees beat the Brewers at AmFam Field last night 15-3. Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, all with home runs. Milwaukee starting pitcher Joe Ross giving up the first 7 runs in 5 innings. NBA, more bad news for the Bucks. Damian Lillard doubtful. An MRI shows he has a strained Achilles. Expected not to play in Game 3 tonight in Indy. The Pacers lead the series 2-1. NFL, the Packers add 11 more players in the draft, including Tulane quarterback Michael Pratt, who got a call last night in the 7th round, just getting out of the pool when the call came through.
What's up, man? How you doing? I'm doing well. I'm here with all my family and friends. Yes, sir.
You here?
Well, get your jackets. Green Bay.
That's Tulane quarterback Michael Pratt. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and thunderstorms likely for your Sunday. Some of that rain locally heavy. We'll see high temperatures reaching the upper 40s, close to that 50-degree mark. Showers, still a thunderstorm chance in the overnight, and again, some of that rain locally heavy. It's 42 at our studios.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series.
Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A weather radio should be considered an important piece of your family's safety plan. It's an automated 24-hour emergency source, which is a reliable way to receive weather alerts and information about a storm, tornado, or flood in your area. And if you lose power, these radios have a battery backup. NOAA Weather Radio All Hazards Awareness Day is Wednesday, May 1st. As a Weather Ready ambassador, I suggest taking time to learn how these radios work, whether you are inside or out on your boat or camping. The Wisconsin Emergency Management website is a great place to start. Go to wem.wi.gov. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The city on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to Lean Local. I just want to thank Ron Antino, Brown County Board Supervisor, for stopping in earlier and telling us what's going on in his part of the world with the county. And, of course, he's really into the whole education, recreation, and that seems to be his focus, and he's working on that. But, you know, as we talk about here on Lean Local, we want to lean into the issues that are important. We want to get people on here who really affect our lives on a local level. And again, we don't lean left or right here. We just lean local. We just talk about things that are pertinent to the greater Green Bay community. And something that I'm really excited about this next guest, the schools. Whether you put your kids in private schools or public schools, whether you have kids or not, nothing more important to the future of this community than the education of our youth. And here in the Green Bay Public Schools, there's, 43 schools, 20,000 kids that are being educated here in the Greater Green Bay School District. And I've invited Andrew Becker to come and join us. Now, you know him because he's been on the school board for over 20 years, and he's seen a lot and he's done a lot. And before I introduce him, I do want to say that, and I'm fine with this, but the largest portion of your tax bills goes to the schools.
And it should, right? I mean, that's the, it should. I'm not complaining about it, but I remember when I was mayor, people would call and, "Mayor, that's it. I'm done. You know, these taxes are crazy." And I'm like, "You got your tax bill?" "No." I said, "Well, go get it. I'll hang on the phone." So then they come back and then they read through it and they realize that there's four things on their tax bill, right? It's not right. just the city, but of course, I always just blame the mayor. But it's okay to, I mean, look, 20,000 kids is expensive and right. 7,000-8,000 a kid. But anyway, you're here and you're doing a great job and you've gone through a lot in the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to be kind, but I do want to talk about a few things that cause I've been to some of your meetings and
yeah.
you just have a lot going on. But tell me what keeps you in the ring?
Well, I think it was real important to me that, you know, looking ahead, I'd been on for a long time. Do I want to run one more time or not? I knew that I needed to stick around. We're in the middle of, you know, proposals Oof. To close schools and things. And that, given my history, given my experience, it didn't seem, this wasn't the time to check out.
Yeah.
I think it's real important to have somebody there with the, you know, historical knowledge of the district to know, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and, you know, understand the history. I think understand the importance to the community of the schools. I've said that there's decisions have to be made. And if there are schools that are, you know, not even half full, then you have to make some tough decisions. But we need to decide what is the value of a neighborhood school, too.
Right?
It's not zero, or we'd cram them all together into one enormous school. It's not infinite. Or we continue to run schools that are half empty. We have to find that balance. And I think I'm an important part of helping find that balance were I to win again. And I was fortunate enough to have that honor of serving again.
Yeah. You won big.
It was pretty comfortable. I was pretty happy with it for I think 7-point margin in a vote for two races.
Yeah.
Is hard to do. I believe it's a sign that I was probably doing something right. Was not supposed to be partisan, but I had supporters on the left and the right. That right. I had my yard signs popped up next to, we'll just say, quite the interesting right. array of right. other types of signs out there, right? So
that says a lot about you.
I try to call it down the middle and just each vote do the best I can.
When I look at elected offices, right, and, you know, city council, county board, of course, there's assembly, there's the state assembly. I'm talking about things that are, you know, more here on the local level. The school board, that seems the most, how do I want to put this? There's a lot of free advice when you're on the school board because there's nothing more important than your kids, right? And the sure. truth comes out your kids. And, you guys have, I've talked to a school board member who didn't run again and he just didn't like the, he just thought it was too much, I don't know, consternation, whatever, just, and I've been to your meetings and you have a very tough job and, I want to get at how are you guys keeping it together? Cause there's a lot of people pulling at you right now.
Well, I can't speak for other board members. I only speak for me. I would say, generally speaking, I think we have a respectful board, and I think on the craziest days I can remember on the school board, I would have encouraged anyone to take a lap around the state and get a nice comparable mixture of school boards. I think they would find that it was pretty tame and respectful.
Okay.
We don't have, you know, yelling or name calling. We've had strong disagreements.
Right.
That's right. And that's fine. I think it's actually healthy. I don't think it should be 7-0 with the administration all the time.
No.
That's a sign. Then
rubber
that's
stamp,
the sign. Yeah.
That.
We don't
be part of that.
We don't want that. I think we're, but I think we have, you know, we have that general respect. We have, you know, strong opinions in the public. Obviously, the
right.
Situation with Dr. Claude Tiller Jr. had emotions running high, and I did my best to listen to everybody. I showed up to the event knowing that it wasn't maybe going to be the most friendly room, but I, but at the end, there were handshakes and respect that I was there and I was listening.
Yeah, I have that on my list to talk to you about. I was going to do that later, okay. But let's talk about it now. So Dr. Tiller, look, I didn't know him well, but he was on our show a few times and I liked him. I loved his energy and there's certain people I click with pretty early in the game and he was one of them. And I don't know what happened. A lot of that stuff was, you know, I understand that's going to be kept confidential. But I will say about you, and I was at that same meeting, I'll give you a lot of credit for going to the Lion's Den. And
oh, thank you.
And you were the only one there. And
you showed up there too?
Yeah, I'm not elected anymore.
You're not elected, so it's a little easier, but yeah.
Yeah, I would have gone anyway, elected or not. Those people they wanted to be heard.
Yes.
And you were there and I took a few arrows, but I think that was good. What happened? So you didn't really vote. Well, I shouldn't say that. The new superintendent, you thought we should keep looking. Is that fair?
I'm not sure I understand the question exactly.
Okay. So Tiller left and you supported him leaving.
I would say this. I would say with the limited amount that I can talk about things that have some confidentiality in place, and I can say this. As an elected official, when a resignation offer is presented to me, my job changes. My job is to look at that resignation package and offer and do I believe it's fair and vote accordingly. So it's not, it's just the job, my role becomes different once someone has made an offer to resign, as sometimes happens right. In these situations.
Sure.
And so my job then did not become, well, do I think we, you know, try to talk about it or this and that. It's just, I have one job at that point, which is, do I believe that this is
a fair exit ramp?
Exit by everyone, and I and the board agreed. So.
Right. Why? We've been struggling a little bit with superintendents, right? Three in the last 4 years? We're close. But I just say that I don't like changing the coaches that often. Why is that? I mean, is there something, is it money? Is it, do you think you have your handle on the next one that's going to be here for 6, 7, 8 years?
So we have interim superintendent Vicky Beyer during the last round she chose not to apply for the full time. I think she enjoys being the deputy, and I think she is very is excellent when stepping up to the superintendent role. But I'm certainly very open if she wishes to be the candidate when we open up the search. But I think that's an important part of continuity, as we've had, you know, we have Vicky Beyer, who's been either superintendent or deputy that whole time. And I think that helps a lot.
Right.
And yeah.
What I was getting at, I didn't mean superintendent, but you have a new school board member.
A couple of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you think the candidates were good enough? I mean, I thought I read somewhere that you were like, well, I'm not sure this is the right one, but then you ended up doing the unanimous vote at the end anyway.
Oh, I think we had great candidates.
Oh, good.
I think, you know, it happened to come down in the end to James McKee and Rick Croston, and they're phenomenal. I don't think we would have done wrong with any of the six. I really don't. Rick will be great. James would have been great.
Right.
I would love to see, you know, James McKee run sometime.
Yeah. I've been at a couple of your meetings, and it seems like you spend a lot of time on the bricks and mortar facilities. And I don't know. Tell me why you're doing that. I mean,
Well, I think it's really big right now because we have two things going on. We did direct administration to give regular updates with the, you know, referendum projects from the last referendum that are underway. We need to, and people need to hear that. We need to, and we as a board need to see the progress on that.
Because people supported that. I mean, they came out in a tough economic time and said, you know what? These schools are important, and I'm going to vote yes.
Right. And so we need to keep that in the front burner. And then at the same time, you know, so those dollars were already committed. And then also we have this situation where we have declining enrollment, and we have some schools that are half empty. And so... or did have some schools that were half empty.
All right. So, again, I want to be super respectful to you. And I'm really glad that you're here. And I really wanted to talk to you out of all the people. And I think I probably know you the best on there. But this is my concern as not as a talk show host, but as someone who pays taxes. It doesn't seem like we talk enough about the students and their test scores and the proficiency rates, and we're at 25% and 30%, and we should be, and it just seems like it's either the superintendent or it's the bricks and mortar. And is someone really drilling down on why you're there, the students?
I think some of those, and maybe this isn't a complete answer that we need. Maybe we need a little better answer to this, but there were, I think, more involved in some of those discussions behind the scenes. And we did have some rigorous discussion when it came to some curriculum. We had some changes with the math curriculum. We have been discussing that. David Johns, he's chief academic officer. He made the commitment to, that we'll be hearing more from that, including teacher voice at the table when we're talking about curriculum. We generally have a subject area, English, language arts, math, social studies. Those come before the board in a rotation. And so the board is kind of the final step in the approval after it's already been piloted. So I think those discussions are happening. And I think hiring David Johns as the chief academic officer, he is a really good point of contact for that. And so I think that maybe we need to have a little bit more of those discussions out at the board table, but I think that groundwork's already there and you're going to start to hear them.
I would rather have the superintendent and the bricks and mortar on the back burner. And I'd like to open the paper and read about test scores and what you're working on that. And you have a guy that's in charge of that.
We do. And he is phenomenal. And I think we're, now I will say, you know, test scores are interesting. I like to look at the measure of everything, you know, not just one test score, but in general, student progress. Absolutely.
All right. And retention rate. And you're right about the declining enrollment. I want to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit when we come back about more than I will talk about the environment that the students are in when it comes to sports and some other curricular activities, that kind of thing that keeps them in school. We're here with Andrew Becker, who is the elected to the school board for over 20 years, really knows what's going on there. Very important part in this community. And we're going to be right back with Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Thank you. Stick around.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip today for saving on streaming TV. Ever wonder if those streaming companies' whole business model is just luring us in with free trial subscriptions and then making it feel so hard to cancel? Well, spoiler alert, that is exactly what they do. The best way to keep your streaming costs in check is just using some old-fashioned financial elbow grease. Take 20 minutes and have a money meeting with yourself. Look at your bank statements, your credit card bills, make a list of every service you signed up for. And if you are anything like, well, everyone else, there's probably at least one thing you're not using. Cancel it. Anything you haven't watched in the last month, just cancel it. You can always sign back up again. They make that pretty easy. Between now and then, you'll save yourself a bunch of money. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I love playing this, Tina Turner, because Green Bay, you know, U.S. News and World Report said we are the best community to live in the United States. So I always have Kyle, like, slide in a piece of Tina Turner for Simply the Best.
Right? Great segue music here. Yeah.
It is, right, because we are. Hey, we're here with Andrew Becker, who is on the Green Bay School Board. And the Green Bay School Board oversees more than just, they educate more than just the people in the city of Green Bay. Right, Bellevue's part of your
Bellevue, Alloway, Town of Scott, parts of the townships out on the east side.
Right,
Ashwaubenon's their own, Howard's their own.
Right,
West Depere, East Depere. But yeah, so we expand in the east side. Yeah,
and as we said there when he first brought you on, over 19,000 students. Right.
Yeah.
K-12, 43 buildings. Yep. That's a pretty big operation. The makeup of the school board, you're elected every 3 years.
Right.
And there's seven of you.
Mm-hmm.
And does it rotate, or are you guys all up at one time?
Oh, it rotates.
It does. Okay. Yeah. And then you elect a president amongst the seven of you? How does that work?
Among the seven, yeah.
All right. And you, again, like I said, I've been to your meetings, and you have a pretty heavy agenda. I think it's kind of cool what you do in that you invite students to come in and give us a little update.
So we have, we have had, and this goes way back. I was looking at some old newspapers. I think in the 70s, the Intercity Student Council started, and we've had a student board rep. We were probably one of the first ones in the state to do it.
Right.
And those students have the ability to not just to present their report, but they can participate. And you know, some have more, you know, more or less over the years, but they always, and we have always have two students there. I think it's more comfortable for students if there's able to be two of them, and also as kind of a backup system. So, yeah, I think it's a very important piece of what we do. We also meet with the whole group of Intercity Student Council 4 times a year, the board and the students.
Okay, and I think that's. I think that's good leadership to bring in more than just these seven people, you know, to and you do open up the board at times to hear from the public. And I think that's healthy. Where are we going with our schools? I think you're getting a lot of press right now, and I don't know that it's all great. I got to be honest with you. I think closing schools makes people nervous. Declining enrollment makes people nervous. New superintendent makes people a little bit nervous. Do you see, 2-3 years where we're going to be running smooth?
Well, I want to say one thing real quick about superintendents. So, superintendents, especially superintendents in large school districts, and in the grand scheme of things, Green Bay is quite a large school district on a state and even on a national level. For whatever reasons, if you get 5 years out of a superintendent, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. We had Michelle Langenfeld was 11 years. That was amazing. We did have some long tenures. So we've gotten lucky and had some long-term leadership, but it is a hard job. And it's also Green Bay is a place where you might have someone who was in a smaller district, and this might be kind of the capstone of their career. And what a great place to finish out if you'd spent your time in maybe or a few years before retirement. So just saying that, the turnover isn't that crazy, although it is unfortunate whenever you have someone not, you know, for a year. So where do I think we'll be in 2 or 3 years? I think we'll have a better idea about what exactly, you know, needs to happen with buildings. I was saying before when they were talking about how many. And of course, this is just me and my individual opinion as an independent elected official, one person, with one vote.
I do think you got a little swing. I think you're more than one vote, but go ahead.
I have one. I get one.
You get one vote, but if,
yeah. Okay. So I speak only for myself. So when there was all these dire predictions about, you know, we have to close because, oh, we're going to be, having been on the board for a while, I have heard these dire budget predictions about the state, and there have been problems, but the sky has not yet fallen. And sure enough, what happened? Well, there was a compromise in the state legislature. There was a bit more funding for schools. There are differences, different significant differences in maps that will have a very fiercely competitive legislature, and who knows what that will look like, right? So I was not bound to that narrative that we were going to, we're going to be $25, $30 million short. So what's more important to me is let's be efficient. And, the best case scenario, if you have a school with low enrollment, a lot of empty seats, and that whole student body can go into a school where there's space, that's probably the least bad. That group stays together. So that happened with Weequahic. That happened with Tank. But I encourage us to, to go slow and listen and, where's that balance, right?
Yeah.
Where's that balance between we shouldn't be. Yeah.
Right. You must study other school districts that are comparable and see how they're doing. It seems to me, again, I'm an outsider one of my kids went to Aldo, but the rest of them went to private schools. Are we looking at doing it different? Are we looking at changing the mold, like a flexible calendar year, or just doing something different with our education? Or are we pretty much going to be where we're at?
So you're the first person who has asked me anything about like a voluntary extended school year or, year round with a different break schedule in a long time.
Because I talked to Dan Neard about it. Okay. That's how long ago
in a long time. Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the beauty of Green Bay. And what I like about it is we are a really big district, and we could do a pilot, and I'm very open to pilots and ideas.
That's cool. Cause I think we got to try stuff. I took some government leadership classes out at Harvard, and we studied schools, and some schools tried some really cool things. And I'm like, wow, did it all work? I don't know. I haven't got that.
If you have one high school, it's hard to pull off. But if you have multiples, you can do different things.
Right.
And you can pilot and offer choices.
Yeah. And I think that's great. And I'm glad you're open to new ideas. You're creative. You listen and you show up even when it's sometimes a little bit difficult. And I'll give you a lot of credit for that, because politics can be tough, I appreciate what you're doing. All right, Andrew, thank you for being here, and keep working at it. I mean, you're the future. I mean, that's education. There's nothing like it.
I once was the youngest person on the board for a while. I don't think I'm anymore.
Yeah, you got the wisdom now. So
I do.
Yeah. Thanks for what you're doing, Andrew Becker, the Green Bay School District, and I also want to thank Ron Antonoff for coming on. We're here with Lean Local. Join us next Sunday. We got some great guests queued up for next Sunday. In the meantime, keep it local. Keep it here on GBW. Jim Schmidt, Lean Local.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Up of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.